My brothers and sisters in Christ, we were reminded of a great truth during the lockdown phase of the pandemic, that we are made for relationships. It was hard not to be with other people. One of the great blessings of our lives is friendship. We enjoy spending time and doing things with our friends, right? We share joys and sorrows together. We learn from one another. Friendship's a good thing. Huh? We also know that some things can weaken or even destroy a friendship. A friend who is constantly checking his cell phone while we are in conversation with him weakens our friendship. A friend who betrays our trust in an important matter can even destroy it. Our relationship with God is not different, really, from this, the human experience of friendship. In the biblical story of Adam and Eve, they really symbolically stand for all of us, huh? Our first parents enjoyed an intimate friendship with God. God had provided this beautiful place to live, all that they needed. I don't think we heard this part of the text, but he would walk with them daily, you know, very anthropomorphic way of looking at God. But nonetheless, it really speaks of the friendship that our first parents enjoyed with God. But they were tempted by the devil to distrust God's word to them, and they chose to disobey him. Now that act of ingratitude and betrayal would have been enough to destroy their friendship with God. But showing his typical mercy, God chose to punish the man and woman, but not to abandon them. St. Paul, in our second reading from his letter to the Romans, teaches that the coming of God's Son as man in Jesus Christ has overturned the legacy of sin, which our first ancestors left us. Christ has won for us the pardon for our sins by his loving act of dying for us on the cross. He took upon himself the penalty that we deserved. Right? He did that out of love. No other motive could suffice. Huh? And he's also won for us the grace to live a righteous life, which makes us fit for eternal life. Huh? And as St. Paul says, the gift far surpasses our sins and reestablishes our friendship with God. Now, if we want to remain in God's friendship, we all know it from experience, we've got to learn to resist temptations to sin. And we have no better model of how to do this than Jesus himself. He would be our Savior from sin and death if he had never experienced the temptations in the desert that we just heard. Okay? But his trials there give us both an example and great encouragement in our struggles with temptation. Notice that in responding to the devil's temptations, Jesus consistently refers to God's word. Adam and Eve went against God's word about not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All they got out of that was to realize they didn't have any clothes on. They had to make some fig leaves. Later in that passage, God makes better clothes out of leather for them, right? But Jesus obeys God's law, right? Because he knows it. As in his humanity, he learned the word of God as a Jewish boy. Huh? Well, we need, too, a familiarity with God's word in the Bible and in its unwritten form in sacred tradition, which is found in the teachings of our church, so that we may know the truth to which we should be faithful when we are tempted to sin. How do we do that? We do it in one way by listening carefully to the word of God when it's proclaimed here at church or in any other sacrament of the church. We do it when we read the scriptures at home. If you don't have one, get an annotated Catholic Bible. It's a good, solid translation, the New American Bible, and the annotated version will have notes. Some parts of the scriptures are not too hard to understand, actually fairly easy, but other parts are more difficult. So the annotations or notes help when you're reading scripture. But read some, use your Bible. Don't let it gather dust on the bookcase, right? Also, we learn God's word. We learn the teachings of our church by exploring the lives of the saints, by getting a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, it's a rather thick volume. Nonetheless, if you read a few pages, you know, a few times a week, you get through it, and you learn a lot about your faith. Huh? All of these measures can help us to know the truth of God and build up in us the desire to be faithful to Him when temptations come our way, as they will. Regarding the specific temptations that Jesus faced, the first temptation was really to turn stones into bread to satisfy a personal need. Now, I get hungry after a day or so of fasting. I don't know about you, but 40 days and 40 nights, that's tough. So he must have been really hungry. Essentially, Jesus was tempted, though, to use his miraculous powers for a selfish purpose, not for the divine purpose of our salvation for which he had come, right? So he knows that's wrong. He cites the Bible in response to the devil. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Well, we also face temptations to use our gifts just for ourselves, our talents, our social standing, our influence. Instead, we must strive to listen to the word of God that says, love your neighbor as yourself. Bear one another's burdens. And Jesus' own example, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. Our gifts and talents are supposed to be put at the service of others as we trust God to take care of us. In the second temptation, Jesus resists making a show of himself by jumping off the highest point of the temple. He would rather feed the hungry and cure the sick and attract people by doing good rather than attract attention by a pointless and flamboyant act. He again cites God's word to the devil, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Well, one lesson I think we learn from the Lord's rejection of this temptation is not to presume on God's help when we do foolish or reckless things. The two brothers who had a race in two different cars down a road, I had the funeral of one of them. It was a foolish and reckless thing for which the other brother suffers to this day. God will not protect us from ourselves when we choose to be stupid. We also learn to combat vanity. Being a show-off, even when doing a good deed, is not the way to attract people to the Lord. As Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Your light must shine before others so that they may see goodness in your acts and give praise," and not to you, "give praise to your Heavenly Father." It is God who gives us the desire and the energy to do good, so the praise should go to Him. A certain self-forgetfulness is appropriate for our good deeds. So Jesus advises us in giving alms, "You are not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." In other words, don't look for applause from others who are doing a good thing or congratulate yourself for it. Just do it. Do it for the glory of God. The last temptation Jesus faced was to gain control of the whole world, but at the expense of worshiping Satan. Now, the Son of God would never do that. So he replies to Satan from Scripture, "The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Well, we face the temptations to make power and wealth and pleasure the gods that we worship. All of these things can be useful and good. Someone has to be in charge of a common enterprise. We have to have heads of government. We have to have heads of organization. We have to have leaders in our church. Wealth legitimately gained can be a source of helping others as well as sustaining those who earned it. And recreation parties, the enjoyment of the arts and sports, all of these are ways to experience the goodness of God's creation, kept if they're kept within sane limits. But when they become ends in themselves and push God out of the picture, they lead us to idolatry, which is the original offense against God. You shall have no gods before me, says the Lord, the first of the Ten Commandments. Clearly, my brothers and sisters, fighting temptations is necessary to stay in God's friendship. Along with knowing the truth found in God's word, we must be convinced that he will help us resist temptations to sin. St. Paul wrote, it's in his first letter to the Corinthians, God keeps his promise. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Along with the test, he will give you a way out of it so that you may be able to endure it. He's promised to help us. So when tempted, pray quick prayers, not long ones, quick prayers for the help that you need to say no to sin. And cherish your friendship with God. Jesus said to his apostles, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because I have revealed everything that my Father gave me to you. Jesus calls us his friends. Cherish that friendship, and do not let anyone or anything sway you from it.